Matthew chapter 20 and look in verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And I'm going to say this again, like I've said many times when we talk about scripture like this, they had to have known who Jesus was. They've had to have heard what Jesus and that could do, because they said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Verse 31, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We ask you now to help us for just a little while. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be timely this morning. But let us just say what needs to be said. Lord, that we could just obey and that the direction of the Holy Spirit this morning. And those that need to be saved would come and get saved. Those that need help this morning would find help in you. Lord, I just pray now that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh, and ask you to save that sinner's nearest tail and give us the words that we need this morning. Help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You be seated this morning. In this passage of scripture, we find two blind men that are sitting by the wayside. If you look in Mark chapter 10, you'll find the same scripture that tells us that one of them is blind Bartimaeus. And then in the book of Luke, you'll find that it talks about just one blind man that needed to see. But in all three verses, the Lord Jesus asked the same question, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And I want to preach on that thought for just a minute or two, on what can Jesus do for you. He come by and he asked this question. You know, when a question is asked, it is desiring an answer. It's looking for a response. Do you know that in the Bible there is a lot of questions that are asked? If you look in the book of Job, man, there's a lot of questions in the book of Job. There's always one that sticks out in my mind in the book of Job. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? He asked that question. Not if you don't put salt on it. Amen. You better put salt on it. He asked another question. Can a man bring a clean thing and that of an unclean? And you can't do it. Listen, Acts chapter 9, the preacher, somebody already made the statement this morning, what Paul said. He said, "Lord," he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he said, "What? What will you have me to do?" And so the Saul of Tarsus, I was desiring an answer, and that from God. You can look, I believe it is in Mark chapter 8. The Lord even asked questions of his disciples, and he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, others say Elias." But he said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter piped up, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Listen, I'm glad there was a question asked, and that to Philip over there of the eunuch, when he come down there and he was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, and the eunuch asked Philip, he said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" And boy, you're talking about giving an open door to a preacher. I mean, the Bible said that scripture, Philip preached unto him Jesus. So I'm glad there's some questions asked in the Bible. Let me move on this morning. I want to look in verse 32 where Jesus said, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" Can I say that first of all, to the lost person, he's asking that question. He says, "What can I do for you today?" Can I tell you that there's a lost world out there today, that if the Lord Jesus, I mean literally, man physically came to them and said, "What can I do for you?" The answer might be, "Lord, can you put my house back together?" There's a lot of houses and a lot of homes that are in turmoil this morning. You know why? They don't have Jesus in the middle of them. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Hey, listen, there's a lot of houses and homes that are being destroyed because of sin. And they might say, "Would you put my home and put my family back together?" I have no doubt that a world would love to have their family put back together. "Lord, could you get me out of trouble?" If you look at all the trouble that I'm in, as we used to go into the jails and preach some, some of them boys would get what was called jailhouse religion. As long as they were in there, they wanted to serve God, but they were more concerned. Let me say this, they weren't sorry for their sin, they were just simply sorry that they got caught. And I believe I would be sorry if I was laid up in the jailhouse. Amen. I'd be looking at everything that was going on in my life. "Well, Lord, can you get me off this bottle, or get me off these drugs, or get me off this and give me this?" But I'm going to tell you the best answer. When Jesus comes by and asks you, "What can I do for you?" You need to be like these blind men. And you need to say, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." To say, "Lord, I desire and that to be saved." Hey, do you know that's the best thing that you can ever ask the Lord and that to do for you is to save you because you can't save yourself.
Yes, amen.
I thought about in John chapter 5 when the Bible talks about the impotent man that laid down there at the pool, was it Bethesda, at the pool of Bethesda, and he had laid there and had that infirmity for 38 years, and there was an angel that would come down from heaven and disturb the pool, and whoever was first in there would be healed. And Jesus comes by, and here's what he said. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And so he asked the question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And you know what he said? He said, "Sir, I have no man and that to put me in the pool." He said, "Some other man gets down there before I can get in the pool." He just didn't know who was asking him the question, did he? He just didn't realize who could fix the problem. Listen, there's a lot of times that I'll ask people before I leave their presence, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" I ask them in the nursing home, in the hospital, before I leave somebody's home, I say, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" And you know what? If I can do it, I'll do it. But you know, kind of like with that important man over there in John chapter 5, I couldn't help him. Do you know the only thing that I can do to help sinners? I used to point them to the one that died at Calvary. I'd say, "He's the one that's asking the question this morning, what can I do for you?"
Yes.
And you know what he can do for you? He can save you.
Amen.
If you would come to him.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do one Sunday night. I had to come to him. Listen, I'm glad. You know what he done right here? The Bible said that those two men that were by the wayside, and as a matter of fact, in the book of Mark, said they were begging over there. I said that when they heard that Jesus come by, that they cried out. And the Bible right here in verse 32 said, "And Jesus stood still." Ain't you glad Jesus come by where you were one night and stood still?
Amen.
He just didn't keep on traveling. Listen, we sing that old song out of the Redback book sometimes. I pass me not, oh gentle Savior, I hear my humble cry. Listen, tonight or this morning, when he comes by, I want him to stop where I'm at. Amen.
Amen.
I want him to stop and say, "What can I do for you?" Listen, this morning, I believe he's trying to help somebody. As I studied this out, I thought, my soul, he's wanting to save somebody. That's exactly what he's wanting to do. Psalms chapter 40, he said this, the psalmist did, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." Ain't you glad just as sure as he heard these blind men's cry right here that he stopped where he was and inclined to what they had to say? You know what that means? He stooped over. He stooped over.
Amen.
Where did he find you at? Where'd he find you at? Some he found in a church house, lost. Some he found at home. Some he found in a vehicle. I remember when Brother Arlen used to come to the church, he went on to be with the Lord now. And I'm really glad Arlen was a one of a kind. He was just an old-time Methodist, but he loved the Lord. And he was an engineer on top of that. And so he was a little hard to figure sometimes. But when he got to talking about his salvation experience, I believe it was either Brother Roloff or Brother Green, Brother Oliver B. Green, that he was listening to on the radio headed down 411 Highway and leaving out of, headed down toward Chatsworth. And he said, God just convicted me, and I pulled my car over on the side of the road and got saved.
Amen.
You know, God gets your attention anywhere, friend. Yes. He really can. You know what he does? You know what he says? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
You know, he says, what can I do for you? You know, the night that I got saved, what could he do for me? He could save me and keep me from going to hell. Amen. That's what I wanted him to do. I just wanted to get saved. That's it. I didn't really know anything else. I just know that I was lost and that I needed to get saved. And I believe with all my heart, he asked me that question, what can I do for you? And so this morning, maybe God is asking you that question. The Lord Jesus is.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Yes.
And you say, well, preacher, I just want my family put back together. I just want to get out of all this trouble. But have you ever trusted Him?
Yeah.
Have you ever accepted Him to be your Savior?
Yeah.
The only way He'll ever put your family back together, get you out of that trouble, just make everything okay, friend, is you've got to come to Him and know Him as your Savior, first of all. He says, what can I do for you? I'm glad the Lord has had compassion on us and asked that question, because He realizes that we can't do that for ourselves. He realizes that we can't do that. But then He not only asked the lost, asked these men right here, what can I do for you? What will ye that I shall do unto you? Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. He knew He could do it. They knew He could do it. And they knew they had no other chance without Him. Can I tell you, if you're lost this morning, you have no other chance than that without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Mark chapter 10. I want you to look at Mark chapter 10. The question is asked again right here. Mark chapter 10. And I want you to look in verse 36. Mark 10 and verse 36. And here He is talking to His disciples. Mark 10 and verse 36. And He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? So the Lord asked that question again, but now He's not talking to those that need to be healed. He's not talking to those that are lost. He is talking to those that are following Him. Now this is a very odd situation right here. If you go back to verse 35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto Him saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. That's a big statement to make, ain't it? I mean, here these disciples are. They come to Him and they say, Lord, whatever we ask You, would You please do it? And so the Lord, He just simply asked a question. He said, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto Him, grant unto us that we may set one on Thy right hand and the other on Thy left hand in Thy glory. So the request was, when we get to glory, let one of us on your right and the other on the left. Now that's a pretty big question, or a pretty big statement to make. Lord, when we get to heaven, we want to be on your right and on your left. That's where we want to be. I think that's a good place in that to be. I don't exactly know why these fellas wanted to be there. I hope it's because they wanted to be close and that to the Lord. But don't you look what Jesus said. In verse 38, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. Again, they didn't know what he was talking about. It's kind of like that time that Peter and James and John got over there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they seen Jesus in that talking to Moses and Elijah. And the Bible talks about, I believe it is in Mark chapter 9. It says Peter tells them this over here. I said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Now that was a true statement. Peter says, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, for he wished not what to say. You know what the scripture said? Peter just didn't know what to say. So he said, Lord, let's just build 3 tabernacles. Let's build 3 church buildings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter ain't never built one, and he's wanting to build 3 at one time. Seems like he'd had a little more smarts than that. He just didn't know what to say. He didn't know what he was saying. And these men right here in the book of Mark chapter 10, they didn't know what they were saying. Jesus says, you know not what you ask. He says, you don't understand what you're asking me to do. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that baptizes. He is talking about going back to Calvary and suffering for our sins. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
And he said, boys, can you do what I'm going to go do? And they said, we can. And Jesus said to them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall you be baptized. And they did suffer. If you go back and look through history, those men did suffer in that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. So that place on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ was already and that prepared at that time. But I want you to look, the Lord Jesus, he asked them a question. He said, What would you that I should do for you? Can I tell you today that I believe that he asks us that question?
Yeah.
What would you, listen Christian, what would you that the Lord would do for you? What would you want him to do? If he come and he asks you personally and he says, what can I do for you? And by the way, I believe he is asking us that question today. I wonder how many of us, you know the Lord, he asked Solomon that question, didn't he?
Yeah, amen.
He asked Solomon that question. He said, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon, I mean, at least he had enough wisdom about him at that time. He said, Lord, he said, I'm like a little child. I can't go in. I can't come out by myself. And there's no way that I've got enough wisdom to rule over all these people. And so basically what Solomon asked for was to have an understanding heart and to have wisdom.
Yeah, amen.
And the Lord said, so because you've asked for an understanding heart and you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for long life, you've not asked for the life of your enemies, he said, but I'm going to give you all these things.
Amen.
Do you know that if your answer is right, you might get more than what you asked for?
That's right.
But you got to have a right answer. You got to have a right answer. Listen, today I do believe that there is some people's homes today, some Christian homes that are in turmoil. And to say, Lord, I need my home put back together would be a right answer to the Lord. If your home's turned upside down this morning, I'm going to tell you there is one in heaven that can fix your home. Amen. Hey, you don't have to be lost to have a home that's messed up this morning. You don't have to be lost and have to have trouble in your heart and in your life. It just comes. Amen. Hey, Job 14:1, man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us and rose again for us, is sitting in heaven. And I truly believe he said, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Listen, maybe you've lost your home and you'd like to put it all back together. And I understand that everybody has to get in arrangements there for that to happen. And I'm going to deal with that just in a minute. But I'm going to tell you, if you'd bring those answers to the Lord, I believe you'd sit down and listen. Ain't you glad that the Bible tells us that His ear is not too heavy that it can't hear? He's listening. He's listening. Listen, Psalms chapter 20 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send help from thy sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." God's listening. God's listening, and He's giving you a question this morning. What can I do for you? What can I do? Instead of you trying to handle it yourself, instead of you trying to take care of it yourself, you're the one that got in the mess, but I guarantee you He's the one that gets you out of it. Psalms chapter 12, the psalmist David said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Help, Lord. You made a mess out of some things. You ever make a mess out of anything? You ever make a mess out of it? Listen, my wife, she says, "You're the messiest cook I've ever seen." When I cook at the house, I'm using all the countertop space, all the island space, all the stove space. I'm using everything. And then I wished I had more to use. And I've got a mess everywhere. You know, it's kind of like life, ain't it, a lot of times if we ain't careful. We'll just make a mess out of everything if we don't consider Him with the direction that we need to go. This morning I want you to understand something. And I'm being a little scattered too, I guess, in one aspect. Not on purpose. But listen, He can help the trouble that you're in. But can I tell you, He's asking that question, but it may not always work out like we want it to. And what I mean by that, you say, "You're backpedaling." No, I ain't backpedaling or taking back water. What I'm telling you is the Lord will help you. He just may not help you like you think He's going to. We always get an avenue produced in our mind that this is the only way that God can help. Kind of like them boys in the book of Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6 when they were on the boat. It would seem to me that the only way that the Lord could help those men in that storm would be to calm the storm down. He's not on board the ship. He's not with them at that point. And it would seem in my mind that I would be praying, "Lord, calm this storm down." But you know what He does? In Mark 4, He steps out on the bow of the boat and says, "Peace be still," and the storm lays down. In Mark chapter 6, when the storm is raging again, He does not necessarily come and that to calm the storm. He simply just comes by and that to calm them. You see what I'm saying? Now the storm, the boat shows up where it's supposed to be at over in the lake of Gennesaret over there, and they get to where they're going, and I understand that. But what I'm trying to get you to see this morning is we get a one avenue mind and the Lord can do anything that He wants to. So to say that the Lord is not helping you may not be the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, look, he said, if he would have just took all that away, all those things away, he said, then I might not have never had the power of Christ to rest on me. Yeah. God shines the best a lot of times when we're at our worst. Do you know that? When we're at our worst, He shines the best. I'm not talking about being in sin. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just saying when life seems to be dealing us some things that is harder than we know how to handle, He begins to shine the best in us if we'll just trust Him. Yeah. Amen. And He says, what can I do for you? Paul said right there, he said, "Therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Lord, you're just going to have to help me make it through this time. Circumstances come that gets out of our control. Lord, you're just going to have to help me get through this. You're just, listen, there's a book full of the times that he's asked us, what can I do for you? You're going to have a lifetime full of what can I do for you? And you just need to answer him. You say, preacher, I don't need him to do anything for me right now. Everything's headed in a good direction. Everything's well, and that's great. And listen, I don't want to be the fella that's always living on the bottom, that's always saying, Lord, I need help. But I've learned the further that I go in this ministry and the more I go in this thing, I need the Lord's help every day. I can't handle this stuff. Not without him. I can't handle it. I need him. I don't want to be like his disciples when they said, Lord, we want you to do whatsoever we ask you to do. Listen, there's just a lot of times I just want to know he's there, that he's going to see me through, and that he's not hiding himself from me. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David comes back to Ziklag, and the Amalekites have come through, I believe it was, and they have burnt everything down, carried off the children and the women. And the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, there's going to be times that the preacher ain't going to encourage you. Everybody else in the church ain't going to encourage you. You're going to feel like you're by yourself. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel like nobody cares for you. And that ain't it. That ain't it at all. Sometimes there's a couple of things happen. Sometimes we get to feeling that way, and we'll get the mother grubs if we ain't careful. And our lip will roll out, and we'll feel sorry for ourselves. I feel sorry for myself all the time. I mean, man, I'm like, I don't know what I would do if I pastored a bad church. I'd quit, man. Quit. I'd pastor a good church. Amen. I mean, this is a good church to pastor. I talk to men who's got problems in their church. I mean, it's just like they're fighting one constant battle after another and after another. And I'm like, I don't know how you boys do it. I'd pull my hair out. I mean, I struggle now and that with just trying to find God's will a lot of times to go forward in things. But I just want to do what he wants me to do. Amen. Amen. So getting back to this right here, sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, we kind of get like his disciples over here. Lord, would you do something for me? And the Lord says, what do you want me to do? You ever been there? Instead of him asking the question, you're asking the question. Lord, I need you to do something right here. And so he comes back and he says, what would you want me to do for you? You've got to be careful when you answer that. Lord, I just need some encouragement. I'll never forget, I told the Lord that one time. I mean, it was a bad time in life. A bad time in life. And this one was going to Lee's. And I remember just telling the Lord, I need some encouragement. I just need some encouragement. And you go to church, and sometimes you leave in worse shape than what you went in. One, because you didn't think you got what you needed. Have you ever come to church and leave in worse shape? I have. Be honest with you. I don't know how we got here, but let me keep on going. And I remember leaving one Sunday morning, and and like I say, it was a bad time in life, and life was on the bottom, it seemed, and the sun wasn't shining. And boy, we can talk about all kinds of different adjectives, you know, the birds wasn't singing and the crickets wasn't singing and the sun wasn't shining and the moon wasn't going to come out and all those things.
But you know what? It's easy to make fun of that now, but at the time, that's how it really felt. Kind of like God just wasn't there. But I remember Miss Rachel. She chased us down out of the parking lot that Sunday morning. She was 15 years old. I'll never forget that. And Miss Rachel chased us down into the lower parking lot and said, "I'm just so glad that you were here this morning." She kind of knew some things that was going on, and she said, "I just want to encourage you." She said, "I'm just thankful that you've kept coming and doing what you needed to do." And I didn't even realize what God had done right then. Kind of just dismissed it and said thank you and just went on. And I remember sitting down in the car. I'll never forget that. I sat down, got behind the steering wheel, and it's like God smacked me on top of the head. And he said, "There was your encouragement that you wanted. You asked me what I could do for you. You said you wanted some encouragement. And so I sent your encouragement and you about missed it." So he asks us sometimes, "What would you that I should do for you?" 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He does. He does want to know. Listen, he knows what you need already. He just wants you to talk to him. He just wants you to tell him. He's asking you a question this morning. What can I do for you? You know, Lord, do anything for you. He can. You just got to bring it to him. If you're lost this morning, he said, "What can I do for you?" And the answer is, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Dear Christian, you may have a need in your life, and Jesus is saying, "What can I do for you today?" And it may not always turn out the way that you think. But if you'll come, you'll be honest with him and lay it at his feet. He'll sure enough handle it this morning. He'll sure enough handle it. Let's bow our heads this morning as we get a verse of invitation. Men, if you'll come this morning, we'll get a verse. If you need to come and pray. Listen, if you need to come and pray before they ever start playing, I want you to come. Jesus is asking, "What can I do for you?" He's asking, "What can I do? What can I do?" So what can he do for you today? What can he do? There's already some praying up here this morning. Do you need to come? Do you need to come? Listen, what can he do for you? What can he do? He can work in ways that you can't imagine this morning. And he can work things out.